Some of the inhabitants on the third plane still are interested in what's happening on Earth and others couldn't care less. Konstantin Rodaev's wife, Zenta Marina, resides on the fourth plane. She has no interest in Earth or even to live on the third plane because they both remind her of the long illnesses of her earthly life. Her husband, Konstantin, moves freely between the fourth plane, where he still enjoys his wife's company, and the third plane where he works on the communication program at Time Stream. When a person lives on a higher plane, he also has the ability to move into a lower plane and to construct a body that will function on that plane. Yogis explain that, similarly, Christ and the Masters can freely ascend and descend through the planes at will and can visit Earth at any time. One of the main tasks on the third plane is to locate those lost souls who are entitled to live on this plane but who for some reason or other have not yet found their way here. Some people do not even realize they have died, and some have rejected the idea of life after death or have not even considered it. After death, these people remain in a confused state, wandering around in their homes and among their friends, and it is hard to reach them. People who have died violent deaths also remain in a confused state for a while, around the scene of their murder or accident, and are still reliving their battles in their mind. As the third plane is a construct of the mind, the soldier killed on the battlefield may well awaken in a battle scene, the world of his thoughts. These thoughts of fear and confusion reach Time Stream as energy vibrations and, as there is the possibility that the newly arrived dead person may not find his or her way to the new world, actual search parties are sent out to find the person and escort him to the third plane. Robert Monroe also speaks of the rescue function and remarks that he has rescued people and taken them to their proper destination on the third plane. Besides the main task of locating the newly dead, many people can journey around the planet Marduk as well as travel to the stars. They also make their way along the River of Eternity by both mechanical conveyances and the power of thought alone. Swegen Salter says that she and Richard Francis Burton were traveling along the river, 5 years ago, when they discovered the Time Stream Lab. It seemed to be waiting for them. She and Sir Richard feel that the technician and the higher entities who work with them now are not yet ready to reveal the entirety of the mission. The founding of Time Stream Lab is a preparation phase which may extend over thousands of Earth time years. Salter and Sir Richard have been told that Marduk is in another galaxy, Spiral Galaxy NGC 4866, and that it doesn't exist in a physical four-dimensional plane. Salter compares Time Stream Lab in size to a huge post office or a very busy bank building. She says there is no technical space program here such as on Earth. There are totally different possibilities open to us. We can travel in space mentally and with our mind visit other dimensions and other planets to explore them. However, it is possible here to travel with the help of large dirigible blimps or hot air balloons. There are aircraft, a small two-seaters, which are used by airplane enthusiasts. Many people use zeolocopters here. They are similar to helicopters but fly according to a different physical principle, and therefore their technical construction is different than their counterpart on Earth. There is also surface travel here, mainly in electrical automobiles and solar-powered vehicles. When the experimenters asked Time Stream why mechanical conveyances were used when third plane inhabitants could travel by the power of their mind alone, Time Stream replied that people liked cars and airplanes. They construct the vehicles they like. Similarly, although it is not necessary to eat here, people enjoy eating with their friends and create the food they like. Mark Macy says that spirit researcher Klaus Schreiber had a brother, living on Earth, who was a motorcycle buff. The boy was killed in a motorcycle accident. Now, he still rides motorcycles but he travels at incredible speeds that are inconceivable on Earth. Salter goes on to say that because she can enter into the fourth plane, she can transfer herself mentally to other realities and contact entities of other dimensions while remaining on the third plane. She remarks that Richard often travels to other planets to get to know the inhabitants there. These trips are not comparable to space travel done on Earth as far as space and time are concerned. His trips to other planets seem to him to be a day-long experience, but Salter says that to her it seems he is only away for a few minutes. Salter says that she has made long journeys with the help of a transmitter capsule. The astral body is dematerialized, dissolved into matter much finer than atoms. She floated in space and felt very well. Only the journey took as long as it would in the physical body when traveling by ship on a river or by air. She tells of the beautiful, spacious home she and Sir Richard share. In Earth terms, it's about 4,350 square feet and is similar to a rented apartment. It opens many dimensions to them because their life is not limited by space or time. She is able to walk through the back door of the apartment into an absolutely immense, beautiful garden. Everything looks as real to her as our world looks to us. Just by walking through her back door, she is also able to visit exotic parks, stroll on beautiful beaches, or admire a sunset over the ocean. An Earthside researcher commented that her world is an illusion of the mind, to which Salter replied, "That is correct. But to her, it is reality and she has the opportunity to see many worlds. As she says, I only see things that exist." She counters that, on Earth too, a car and the most beautiful house in the world are also illusions of the mind. Only on the third plane, things can be mentally constructed much more quickly than we on Earth can build them. The Indian yogi, Paramahansa Yogananda, once commented that while he could think a book almost instantaneously on the astral plane, it would take him a whole year to write the book in Earth time. Many of our departed relatives, friends, and also beings of different eras and cultures live on Marduk. Most of us on Earth have a large spiritual family in the spirit world, and while we may not be aware of these family members, they often intercede for us and support us from the other side. Many of these spirit brothers and sisters shared earlier Earth lives with us and have not reincarnated since. When we finally pass over into the spirit world, they are waiting for us. We may not remember them immediately, but they know a great deal about us. They are linked to our very soul. Soul relationships exist beyond time and space. Sometimes, on Earth, even though a soul is bonded to another soul, they are separated from each other because one has a particular task on Earth that must be carried out. Just as our spirit relatives wait for us, so often do our family pets if a bond of love has been formed. Pets are often taken in by our spirit relatives, and if the pet wishes to see us, that wish is granted. In the spirit world there is a grand reunion between the newly deceased and those little animal souls who have waited patiently, perhaps for years. Here on the third plane one may meet the enemy one fought on a battlefield. Spirits from older times, as well as contemporary, want us to understand that no matter why they fought, each believed in the rightness of the cause. Sometimes, for many people, waking up in the next world is a crushing shock. Few people find that the third plane corresponds with their expectations. As on Earth, they discover that among the inhabitants here are petty thieves, fraudulent businessmen, pickpockets, adulterers, and liars. These types are separated into their own respective groups and cannot hurt the more respectable spirits. But many souls wonder why they have to live in the same dimension with them instead of being in the promised paradise. But Salter reminds, our dimension is neither heaven nor hell. Again, the third plane is not a permanent place. It is only an interim place until the soul either reincarnates back to Earth, moves on to another planet, or proceeds through an evolutionary process up into the fourth plane or maybe even into the celestial planes nearer to God. Spirit researcher Friedrich G. Jensen in his Computer Contacts says, "A broken bar, it is idle speculation to theorize what waits for you on the other side, on the third plane. If you didn't solve your problems on Earth, they will be waiting for you here. In this new reality, the titles and positions held on Earth are unimportant. What remains is your soul. What is really important here are your ethical feelings and the humanities, all things of a constructive nature. Some people want to look for new ways and others want to preserve old values and add new knowledge. Here, on the third plane, the field is wide open to you. All possibilities are also realities. there is total freedom and total choice. As part of the Time Stream communication team, Gia Jensen says, our message is to tell you that your life goes on. Any speculations how an individual will experience it are bound to be limited in validity. All your scientific, medical, or biological speculations miss the mark of these realities. What serves as real to science is not close to reality in the broad picture. It is no more than a word out of a book. He emphasizes that each person has his or her responsibility with thought power. Negative thoughts create negative realities and positive, constructive thoughts create positive, constructive realities. We are always creating our own environment through thought. Our mental attitude about life is creating our spiritual environment right now. We are responsible for the environment we will go to after death. Thoughts have no limits, says Gia Jensen. They reach across all dimensions. There is no escape from the consequences of your thoughts and actions. You cannot expect to live in a better world if you act and think negatively. When the physical body disintegrates, your astral body, which contains your thoughts, emotions and memories, is released to live on the astral plane. It is up to you whether you live on the lower planes of darkness and pain, the higher astral planes of beauty and love, or the even higher planes of the celestial beings closest to God. It's your choice. Every moment on Earth, the choices you make here, determine your afterlife. 5. Jacob's Ladder. A multi-dimensional universe, according to Instrumental Transcommunication, ITC, researchers. One scenario of our fleeting lives on planet Earth is to live a long life, and at the end of that life we tell our loved ones who are gathered around our deathbed, why, I've lived to be 90. Do you know how much I did during my lifetime? Then we die. Suddenly, we wake up in another place and ask, how long was I gone? The being of light who is with us replies, we hardly noticed you were gone at all. You just sat down and dozed off for a moment, and here you are again. Let's see what kind of dreams you had this time. What part of us wakes up after we die? And where exactly do we find ourselves when we wake up? These questions, probably more so than any others, have baffled and preoccupied our ancestors down through the ages. Early religions and philosophies produced some rather elaborate scenarios of the post-mortem experience which satisfied people's curiosities quite well, thank you, until the knowledge gathered by modern sciences and parasciences, especially facts about electromagnetic and etheric energies, began falling into place like puzzle pieces. Today, due to ITC, we have a much clearer picture of what life is really like after we shed the physical body. Some of the questions ITC researchers and their invisible colleagues in the subtler dimensions have answered is, do we have a soul? Is there a God? Is there a heaven where most of us wind up after we die? Is there a hell? Is there a devil? What exactly will life be like after we die? Does everyone reincarnate? Our multidimensional body, deceased scientists who now live in the next dimension say that we indeed do have a soul. They describe it as a small beam of undying light which resides in the area of the heart. Curiously, the ancient yogis spoke of the soul, calling it the seed atom and said it resided in the left ventricle of the heart. Today's research seems to validate the yogic concept. Imagine yourself a video illustrator for a moment, preparing to animate a sequence of pictures that show the soul evolving into a human body. This sequence involves 5 basic stages, each of which melts or merges into the next. In stage 1, we see the soul, a small beam of light. In stage 2, a ball of energy emanates from the soul, surrounding it like a cloud. Now the soul is called a light being and its energies are very fine, very subtle. This being operates on a very high frequency, on what is called the mental causal plane. In stage 3, the astral body is formed. The vibrations become heavier and the light being begins to assume a shape similar to the physical body. Still, it is composed of a substance lighter and finer than that of the physical body. It is so light and wispy that it hardly exists at all. It consists of energy cells instead of living body cells and is called the astral body or the energy body, and it resides on what is called the astral plane. In stage 4, the vibrations become heavier and the body now becomes denser than the astral body and even more closely resembles the physical body. In this fourth stage of manifestation, the body is referred to as the etheric body. Sometimes, it's also called the electrical body, and Russian scientists referred to it as the beta body or bioplasmic body in their experiments with the auric field, a body of energy that surrounds the physical body. The etheric body is invisible to the average person, but many psychics are able to see it. In stage 5, the last stage, the physical body comes into form. Now, matter is vibrating at its lowest speed, and is at its densest stage. The physical body lives on the physical plane where we are now and can be perceived by the five senses. All of our other bodies are invisible to us unless we are clairvoyant or developed psychically. Each body is able to function on its own plane or dimension, and if one is developed psychically, one can travel to the lower planes. To travel to the celestial planes, spiritual development is needed. Reversing the stages is called death. For death is the process of the soul returning to its natural state. The eternal soul sheds its physical body, sheds its etheric body, its astral and mental body, moving back through the planes, toward the light, and if it has completed its evolution, it returns to the source of light or the creator. But not every soul returns to the source, or the creator, until it is ready. Each soul has its own path of evolution, its own inner direction, and also its own free will. Each soul marches to the music of its own inner drummer. Man, then, is a multi-dimensional being and has many bodies, and not only a physical body, perceived through the five senses, but also the etheric, the astral, and the mental, causal, which have emanated from the soul, a tiny beam of light. You are all these things now. That is the key to spiritual understanding. When you die, you shed the physical body and begin the voyage home, through the planes. As Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions or dimensions." When you die, for a short period of time, you will probably remain in the same vicinity where you died, or in the home where you spent many years. You will have the experience of seeing your friends and loved ones, but unless they are clairvoyant, they will not see you, though they may sense your presence. You will definitely feel frustrated when you talk to them and they don't answer, and you may tap them on the shoulder only to find that your hand goes through them. See plate 21, still. Despite this frustration, you will feel wonderful, amazingly light and free. Living in the physical world is like carrying a heavy weight around, a heavy suit of armor. You will discover that you have 360-degree vision, that your body has limited your vision. Being in this dead state seems natural, not frightening. It is very possible that you will not be interested in your dead body, that you have never felt more alive. You may even wonder why people are so interested in that dead body and are crying when you happen to be standing right there. You will notice that your aches and pains have vanished. And it is very probable you will attend your own funeral and listen to your own eulogy. Now, mixing with your friends and relatives, you will begin to realize what others really thought of you, and you will feel a curious detachment about the person you once were. Some years ago, I, Pate Cubise, experienced my first out-of-body state at Hollywood High School in my freshman year. I fainted in the gym and my body slid under a table. Suddenly, I found myself floating above my body, a vast invisible creature, like a genie just released from a bottle. The gym had been prepared for graduation and it was full of flowers, and the fragrance was overpowering, particularly the gladiolus. I delightedly discovered that I could see through walls, into the locker area, and listen to the people laughing and joking. I could also look through the table and see my body below. Then I noticed a group of teachers walking toward me. When they saw me, they pulled me out from the table and put me in a chair. Several of them ran for wet cloths to put on my face. Frankly, I didn't care about my body at all. I was so delighted about being free. When the teachers returned with the wet cloths, They began to wipe my face and I felt a strange pulling sensation, like the pulling of a strand of a spider web, and I realized I had to return to that body. I really didn't want to go back into it. But then, I began to funnel back into my body and I opened my eyes regretfully. What marvelous freedom I had experienced. Only later, when I went to college and took comparative literature, did I realize that the Arabs, the Sufis, knew perfectly well about the astral body and that their tales about the genie were parables about the astral body. One of our ITC colleagues, on Earth, Jean Peterson, makes etheric journeys frequently in her meditations and channeling work, and she equates physical life with walking in jello. She describes this life on Earth as very cumbersome. Death is really a liberation from a very uncomfortable state of being. Our spirit colleagues describe the process of transition, saying, after shedding the physical body, you live for a few days in a body of etheric energy, but then, that body, too, disintegrates. Now you begin the journey to the next life on the astral plane. You may fall into a deep sleep for a few days or weeks during this transition. Although it is also possible to make the transition fully conscious, and many advanced souls do have succeeded in reaching the middle or higher astral planes. Deceased family members both from this time period and those from former lifetimes greet you. Gradually, you discover you do not have to be old, ill, or decrepit. You see how young most of the people around you look, even your deceased grandmother, and you discover that you can choose to be the age at which you feel and look best. Upon leaving the hospital, you notice that the environment is similar to that on Earth, only the colors are vivid and iridescent. There are beautiful gardens with flowers that do not decay and lovely birds with luminous foliage. To your immense joy, you discover that you can replicate objects on Earth that you knew and loved. But not every plane is beautiful or nurturing. A small percentage of people don't get as far as the mid-astral planes. They are trapped for a time in the lower astral planes, a dark, dismal place. This is the realm that inspired Western world concepts of hell and purgatory. However, no one stays here permanently. At any given time, a person entrapped here may call for help and rescue as a way to release the person from bondage. WHO or what determines where we will wind up? Interestingly enough, in all the data from Time Stream, there is no mention of a devil, or God sentencing anyone to the lower planes. Rather, man sentences himself by his own desires. What he deeply desires or wants acts as a magnetic attraction, attracting him to a plane where those things exist. In other words, it is our thoughts, attitudes, beliefs and behavior that raise or lower the frequency of our astral body, and when we die we simply go to the dimension that is compatible with our spirit. Factors that raise the frequency of our astral body while we are alive on Earth are: love, compassion, 3. Service to others, 4. An air of calm detachment, 5. Eating fresh fruits and vegetables, 6. Drinking pure water and breathing clean air, 7. A realistic concept of spiritual existence. Factors that lower our vibration or frequency are: fear, hatred, resentment, egotism and selfishness, attachment to worldly things, using alcohol, tobacco and drugs regularly, eating heavy foods such as red meat and fat, hurting other people or animals with malicious intent, spiritual ignorance or major misunderstanding. Our spirit colleagues warn that any combination of these things in excess can chain you to a lower plane. And, in the words of the poet, love can set you free. Today, as one might guess, there is an overpopulation in the lower astral realms. Many people's lives revolve around negative thoughts, habits and activities that are harmful to the spirit. If a person continues to think negatively, even in the after-death state, that person will almost certainly find himself or herself in the unsettling reaches of the lower astral plane. The principal role of ITC in today's world is to promote spiritual growth of all people, first, by convincing even the most stubborn skeptics that life does indeed continue after we shed the physical body, and second, to show us all, through televised images and long messages on the computer hard drive, just what our next life will be like. Hopefully, this knowledge will automatically direct our lives onto a more spiritual path. As the planes reveal, there are consequences to our actions. Describing the higher spiritual dimensions is not possible in any great detail because they are far beyond our comprehension in their complexity and scope. Plate 23 gives a general idea of what these other worlds are like. They are based largely on the information we have received from our ITC colleagues in spirit. The lower astral planes are a dark, dismal world. Some people, after dying, are magnetically pulled here by their low vibration thoughts and attitudes. This region exists near the physical plane and it is chaotic. There is no time, space, or gravity in the spiritual world, and those beings trapped here live in a state of confusion. They may reside in this bewildering reality for years or for centuries of Earth time. Some are not even aware they are dead. Many of the spirits in the lower astral planes cause a great deal of trouble on Earth. They can communicate telepathically to others on Earth and inspire weaker people, who think these thoughts are their own, to act badly. For example, spirits of deceased alcoholics, drug addicts, murderers and other violent criminals, are drawn to people on Earth who have a similar disposition or to people of a weaker will, and the spirits encourage the vices to which they are addicted. These negative entities fuel negative thoughts, attitudes and behavior in people on Earth whose lives they have entered. The middle astral planes are a pleasant realm where most of us wake up to be rehabilitated after our earthly education to a school of hard knocks meant to develop our character and persistence. The Time Stream Sending Station and other spirit groups of ITC colleagues all convey their messages and images to Earth from the mid-astral planes. They describe concert halls, museums, hospitals, schools and homes much like those on Earth and set in landscapes of trees, flowers, mountains, meadows and rivers that, again, are like landscapes here on Earth, only much more breathtaking. The third plane is an interim plane where we make a decision to move on to a higher plane or return to Earth for more experiential living. The higher astral planes are a wonderful realm called heaven by Christians, or the Summerland by spiritualists. Many of the spirit colleagues of ITC experimenters reside in the higher astral planes and descend, or lower their vibratory rate, into the mid-astral planes in order to participate in ITC. The mental causal planes are realms of divine inspiration free of earthly desires and conflict. The beings here cause many of the artistic and technical breakthroughs on Earth by sending telepathic messages to artists and inventors. A number of light beings whose home frequencies are in the mental causal planes assist the ITC projects by providing inspiration and guidance. They send messages of love and wisdom to the project leaders at Time Stream, to be relayed to Earth. One such being is the spirit of a girl named Angie Mreches, see Plate 23, granddaughter of Marie Mreches, see Chapter 3, who died at age 12. As a child, she had been a special soul. The only blonde, blue-eyed member of a family of dark-haired people, Angie was a sensitive child. Our spirit colleagues have told us that Angie did not belong to the human line of evolution. She is in a line of non-human beings who incarnate in a human body or show themselves in body on the physical plane. The human body plays only a minor part for them. They accept it because it allows them to get to know us better and to study mankind much better. All information such an entity gains about human existence is automatically transferred to other beings of its kind. Angie remembers little of her years on Earth. Her years of incarnation were of minor importance to her. Angie apparently acted as a communicating instrument meant to gather information for her non-human people. Her early death may explain the death of some children who do not need to learn all of life's lessons. See Plate 24. The celestial planes are the home of various earth gods and deities whose wisdom, understanding and unconditionally loving nature are beyond human comprehension. One of these beings is Jesus Christ, or Yeshua ben Yosef, And the technician says of him, Yeshua ben Yosef belongs to the extremely high beings who are in direct contact with the principle whom men call God. The word hierarchy is a human expression. In the spirit world, all higher beings are one and confused together into the light. Man needs the image of certain beings as more spiritually advanced than others. It helps his understanding and assures a certain order.